it's time for our above average visit, which we're definitely going to get more above average here with PWA Tag Team Champion Aiden Adams. Now here's your host with the most, Spencer Love.
Mike, one of these days we're going to have to look at the pay scale on this here production unit and maybe talk about raises and or pay cuts. However, that is for later. This is now Hello Friends. Welcome to CWLL Conversations with Love Live. I'm your host, Spencer Love, as Mike so beautifully put it. Joined now by the Above Average Joe's PWA Tag Team Champion, Aiden Adams. Aiden, man, it is great to have you on here. We were talking while we were setting this up. It's pretty well been 1 year to the day since you and I actually first got organized as far as any sort of interview, conversation, whatever you want to call it, outside of you and I just shooting the shit and having a beer. So we figured we'd take it back to the roots. I enjoying a beverage, yourself enjoying a beverage, and absolutely enjoying some conversation with one of the premier wrestlers in Western Canada. How are you doing, man? How is the COVID-19 pandemic treating the tag team champ?
Oh, man, I just like the way you, like, describe me. Can you move in with me? Like, you just walk around, just have you, like, talk about me all day?
Your personal hype, man? Absolutely, yes, man. Yes. I would be happy to do it. Sure. I'll even just record something so that if you want it,
yeah, absolutely,
before you guys come out.
For my alarm, maybe, when I wake up in the morning, so I'm just, like, excited to get up.
Good morning, Aiden. But keeping well?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man, you know, just trying to stay safe and trying to wash my hands, as they say on television to do, and, you know, keeping clean, and, you know, it is what it is. You can't really fight it. It's just, it's a pandemic. Nothing you can really do about it.
So, 110%, man. It is what it is. I feel like everybody, when I start a conversation with them, whether it's an interview or anything outside of it, it's like, how are you doing? I'm good, all things considered, but outside of no professional wrestling shows to go to, great to have you on here. Great to be able to catch up on the professional wrestling. And to be quite honest with you, man, gives me a little bit less research to have to do as far as it goes for what you've been up to over the last couple of months. But for anybody who hasn't had the chance to catch up on perhaps what you've done as far as professional wrestling goes, had a chance to come out to a PWA show or any of the promotions that you're working for across Western Canada, maybe just give a bit of a background as to who Aiden Adams is.
Well, Aiden Adams is an above average Joe. I have a tag team with one of the best people on the planet. His name's Kenny Stryker. Me and him are tag team champions. We're 3-time tag team champions. And, you know, it's been such an awesome run with him. And, oh, man, it's just hard to describe. Like, the chemistry me and him have is just amazing. And speaking of tag teams, that shirt of yours, I don't know. We might have to burn it or something here.
Hey, man, look, we told you right off the bat, I don't have any Above Average Joe's merchandise. I wanted to support the tag team here. I unfortunately don't, because, and it's a good problem to have right now. Anytime that I've gone to organize getting one from Mr. Adams here, he sold them out at the merch table. So at the very least, it is a good reason that I do not have one of the Above Average Joe's headbands. However, I'd suggest getting one if you do not have one yourself. Aiden, maybe just in the general sense, you know, you and I, every time we chat, we talk about the tag team scene here in Alberta. We talk about just like what a great scene we have, for lack of a better way to put it. Maybe take me a little bit through your experience working with the tag teams here in Western Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. You know, I've only kind of wrestled the people in PWA when it comes to tag teams, because, you know, there's the league and then there's Gabriel and
Mephisto.
Sorry, my mom was calling me. Is that really?
No, you bet you were good to go. Sorry, Mrs. Adams.
So, you know, wrestling Gabriel and Mephisto and wrestling the league, and, you know, there's the Millennial Rebels as well. I've only kind of worked them, but I've really wanted to expand into the other companies and maybe try out top talent, you know, and what's Cody Chimera's tag team again? Him and Maverick Jack. What are they called again? They
were the artists formerly known as Dirty Ink. I believe they're going by the Malicious Militia now, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah. Because we were supposed to work them for Clandestine, and then Maverick Jack couldn't make it, and then we had Chris Parrish.
Yeah, man. What an experience that was, though. What was it like for you being a part of the actual, like, in-ring stuff as far as Clandestine goes? Because as a fan, as a guy who's never been in the ring, to be quite honest with you, man, that may have been the coolest professional wrestling show I've ever been to.
You know what? That show was incredible, but from my experience, I know for a fact I had the worst card on that, or worst match on that card. Like,
I liked it.
Oh, thank you. I know that all four of us could have just done way, way better. And the show was incredible. The production was amazing. And all the guys were really good. Like, aside from my match, I thought everything else went really well. I just, you know, when we had that much kind of social media attention, and we hit like number three trending on Twitter in Canada and all that kind of stuff, for the country to see that match, for me, is just, I was embarrassed. Like, you know, it could have been way, way better, and it just wasn't.
Well,
but on all the show.
Let's just throw a caveat in there. You might have been number three in Canada, but number one and two, it was the same night as a McGregor fight. Realistically, you guys were number one in Canada.
I thought you were going to throw some cheesy, like, you were number three in Canada, but number one in our hearts.
Yeah.
That's all I was hoping for. But I guess, you know, you mentioned that maybe you weren't as happy as you could have been with the match, but just being the opening match on, like you said, a card that got so much attention throughout Canada, does it mean a little bit extra to you?
It does. I kind of wish it was the original. Like, I know Maverick Jack couldn't make it, but, you know, Chris Parrish was a good fit for the replacement, but, you know, it would have been good to actually have the proper Dirty Ink or whatever they're called nowadays. And that would have been really awesome. I know there was like a small little rumor that they were going to try to get Kamikaze to wrestle me. And I was excited for that. And then I guess he said no. And I'm like,
ouch. Well, maybe not Kamikaze. Right. We're still waiting on Kamikaze. We are still, unfortunately, waiting on David Arquette to come to Edmonton and wrestle Aiden Adams. Have you watched the documentary that they put out on him?
I saw the trailer. I definitely got to watch the documentary, though.
Oh, like, dude, cool as shit. It is so, so good. Because, you know, and I was even listening back to the interview we did a year ago, right here on the WCSN. But when we were talking about it, I think that a lot of people did sort of underappreciate what he does for professional wrestling. When you and I were talking, like, what went into his WCW title reign is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. I would still love to, because, like, the guy loved wrestling forever and then just decided at whatever, I think mid-40s he's in now, he just decided, you know what, I'm going for it. And he's going hard, man. These death matches and, oh, man.
I was
going
to say, he got, like, full-on cut wrong with a light tube. And you may know better than me. I don't know if you've ever been in, like, any sort of death match situation.
Oh, God, no. God, no. I'm just saying, no.
Oh, man. But, like, I don't know what the spot was. Apparently, he was working with a light tube, and they were choking him out with it at some point, and it broke incorrectly, or they cut him incorrectly with it. So, like, he was bleeding out. He grabbed his neck. Get this, man. He goes back into the ring. They do the finish, and then he goes to the hospital.
Jesus Christ.
Like, realizes, that's okay, insane. I'm not going to die in the next, like, 30 seconds or so. Get back, nail the finish out. Let's get the hell to the hospital.
The show must go on, hey? Like, oh, man.
Absolutely, man. Oh, absolutely. Now, we talked about Arquette as part of a bucket list match for you, or dream match. I hate the phrase, but dream match for you. One thing I'd have to assume may have been on the bucket list, or may have subconsciously been on the bucket list, that I love talking to people about when they've had the opportunity, such as the PWA guys did last year. What was it like for you to work at the Saddle Dome?
Oh, man. Like, you just made me smile thinking about it. It was sweet, man. Like, yeah. I've never experienced like that, like anything like that in my life. You know, you're backstage and you're in an arena, and it's just, oh, man, just thinking about it now, it just kind of gives me chills. Like, oh, that was probably my favorite show of the year, probably for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's something to even just like in a couple of years talk about. Like, we were the only company to ever have a show at the Saddle Dome aside from the WWE, you know, it's incredible.
Absolutely.
And I love that match too. I watched it over like a couple times, like maybe last week, and I really enjoyed that match too. So it was awesome.
Yeah, man, and it sort of ties into what I wanted to ask you next is obviously winning the tag team championships in the Saddle Dome, I'd have to assume is definitely a highlight for sure. But as far as your three times you've won the PWA tag team championships, is that perhaps the most meaningful? Some people I've talked to have said, yeah, the first is always the best, you know. What's your experience as far as that goes?
My favorite was the second one, the second run.
Okay.
Because the second and third are kind of together, and because we were only, it was only a week apart, so we lost the belts and then we won them a week later. But the way we built it up for us to win at that Nate show, I believe it was Night of Champions.
Yep.
And oh man, that was just the way we built it up was incredible. And then just the match, oh, that was my favorite match. Even though the Saddle Dome was my favorite show, that was my favorite match of the year, was the Tornado Tag Submission match.
Yeah. Why is that? Just working with the league. Obviously, you've gotten to work with them for most of the opportunities you've talked about. You know, you make fun of my shirt. I think it's a great design. But, you know, what do you enjoy about working with Davey O'Doyle and Braden Parsons?
You know what, man? It's just we our chemistry with them is just like it's on point just because we've worked each other so many times. And that submission match, we were just firing on all cylinders, man. It was just awesome. And the crowd was just going wild. I think they were going even more wild at that submission match than they were at the Saddle Dome. I mean, both reactions were great, like even when we won both. But just that submission match is just, oh, man, when we both had them in the double submission and they're waiting to tap. And then when they tap and everyone just got wild, it was just, oh, man, I can't forget that.
Absolutely, man. I wasn't lucky enough to come down to the Saddle Dome, but I was at the Nate show. And like you say, man, it was definitely one of the most fun shows I've had the opportunity to come out to as far as an indie fan goes, because like there's just something about every Nate show that the PWA puts on. But I just think that that year was absolutely incredible, man. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, everybody lived through it, too. That was 2 years ago, you know. I wasn't scared that MRB was going to kill himself at that one.
Was that the one when he went through the ladder, like went like off the top, like Canadian Destroyer through the tables, or was it?
No, that was the Marky one. That was the Marky one.
Okay.
I might be wrong on that though.
No, wait. Oh,
no. No, you're correct.
No, Night of Champions, weren't you? Because it might have been the year before. I don't think MRB tried to kill himself at this one.
Maybe. Yeah, because.
Isn't it funny how that's sort of like the staple of how people judge wrestling events here? Is like, how likely was MRB to die?
Yeah. Well, don't say that, man. He's too good of a guy.
But, I know. I say it with love. That guy's got the most insane professional wrestler I know in the most complimentary way possible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I got a fan question in for you. I didn't tell you about this one. Mike spoiled that he had one, but I was asked this one. I'm certain you're going to know as soon as I bring up the question. Tell me about the origins of the Bosnian Adonis.
Oh, God. Okay, so it was supposed to be like my first match ever. And I wasn't even like, I was just showing up to shows and trying to set up the ring, try to get my foot in the door at RCW. Like
the proverbial, like, keep your gear in the car.
Yeah, exactly. And someone got sick. And I can't remember who, but somebody got sick. And then they're like, do you have your gear? Because like me and Kato were kind of chaining around in the ring before. So they knew that I could at least wrestle, right? Yeah. Someone could carry me through a match. And they're like, we need to figure out a name for you. And like Vince Austin was like, you look Russian, man. You look Russian. I guess you look Russian by, like, you know? And I was like, well, I'm Bosnian, right? And, like, we're just trying to figure out. So, like, I initially, like, just used my grandfather's first name, and then I cut my last name in half because my last name is so long.
Yeah.
So that's how you get, like, Zadif Metovic or whatever. And then, like, I needed kind of, like, a gimmick name. So they're just like, how about the – I think Squig said, how about the Bosnian Adonis? And I'm like, sure, throw it in there. And it's just like – and then when you look at, like, other Adonises, like, I didn't look the part. Like, there's a guy out in Vancouver named, like, what was his name again? Air Adonis. And the dude, like, is shredded and he's ripped. And I'm like, God, why am I even doing this, you know?
You got, like, even Dusty Adonis was running here still at this point, I'd have to assume. Sorry, Mike, you were cutting in?
At least you don't look like Adrian Adonis. Now...
Fair.
What was it like during that experience working with a mastermind? Yes, I'm going to have to say this because I know he'll call me out on it if I don't ask. How was it like working with Thaddeus Archer III starting out?
You know what? He had my back, like, as soon as I started, because I guess he knew that I had potential, like, potential that I didn't see, like, whatsoever. So he, like, put me in his little faction there, kind of like a Bobby Heenan type thing. And I think it was really fun.
I think I'm one of the few that have that shirt.
Yes, yes. Can't believe people bought that, man. I'm sorry about that. Like,
ouch.
I got one here somewhere. I should have put it on, but.
Hang them in the background like Stanley Cup banners.
Although, like, the thing I can say about that faction, it was just, like, in my opinion, it was just horribly booked. Like, there was no storylines with it. And, like, there's nothing that made us seem like a faction of fear, because there was just, you know, all of us were just losing, you know? Like, it wasn't necessarily, it was kind of like a very low, low, low scale of 3MB. Like, we were just, like, you know, just losing all the time. And then out of nowhere, I turned babyface. And that was when me and Thaddeus had a good time, because now we're, like, kind of arch enemies, because I kind of turned my back on Thaddeus. And then it was, the storyline was kind of like, they were bringing in random people to try to beat me and see who could beat me. And then they got Leon Grayson to turn heel on me. And that was probably the best part of that, was when we started feuding and not in the actual faction.
Well, cool. I would have to say my favorite moment of the whole time was when they brought in Sin Bodhi to take you on.
Yes, yeah.
I do remember there was a certain sledgehammer, some concrete blocks, and certain testicles of Mr. Archer.
That was awesome, yeah. I still think that was the most nervous I've ever been before a match. And I usually don't really get nervous, but that one was like, okay, it's Sin Bodhi, and I always do, like, this training with him before the shows, because he came in a couple times beforehand, and he's just so brilliant. Like, the way he describes everything in a wrestling match is just like, man, I'm not on this guy's level. So I remember freaking out. Like, I probably would have been a year and a half into wrestling, 2 years, so not even.
Sort of like a bit of a prove yourself. Is that more
absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. yeah. And cool. I was, I was nervous, man. I was shaking. Like, I love to do it now with the experience I have now in wrestling, because I feel like it would be a way better match. I wouldn't be as, like, scared and nervous, but, oh, man.
Fair enough, man. Jesus, you hear sledgehammers, you hear all that sort of stuff. You're not a deathmatch guy, Aiden.
Thaddeus is a deathmatch guy.
Oh, shit, that was sad.
Yeah. So, what happened was, this was the coolest part. Sin Bodhi put me over, and then, you know, Thaddeus gets all mad at Sin Bodhi. Sin Bodhi hits him with something, and he's selling in the corner. And then we put a concrete block in between his junk, and Sin Bodhi hit it with a sledgehammer, and it broke. And just, like, the convulsions that Thaddeus was, like, performing was just incredible.
Yeah. You gotta love it, man.
He was on Devon Dudley level of convulsions there.
Right, I just, like, I wish I could do it, like, as good as he can, but I can't. Like,
oh, man, but saying that, there aren't many as far as the role that he plays that are as good as Thaddeus goes, period.
Oh, absolutely.
There really aren't. Now, I like that you bring that up, because one of the questions that I wanted to ask you as far as just outside of your professional wrestling career, what is your favorite so bad it's good wrestling segment? Whether it's pro, whether it's something you've seen on the indies.
So bad it's good. Oh, God, you should have, like, sent me this, like, a DM, but, like, a couple weeks ago or something. so bad it's good. Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Like, I know some so bad it's good movies, but in wrestling, it'd have to make me.
Well, then, you know what? You can come back to that one. Let's transition over. So bad it's good movies, then. Everybody's stuck indoors for the next little bit.
Yes. Bloodsport.
Never heard of that. Van Damme.
With Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh, my God. Okay, so it's about, it's a, like, supposed true story, like, quote unquote, like, this guy was full of it.
Yes.
His name's Frank Dukes. And he claimed that he was winning some underground karate tournaments in China. And, like, it's called the Kumite. And just, the movie is just incredible. Jean-Claude Van Damme plays Frank Dukes, and the CIA is after him because he's supposed to be on a mission, but he's fighting at the Kumite. And it's just, like,
outstanding.
It's so incredible. And the best part was, I saw, like, Rusev was cutting a promo and he's wearing his shirt from the movie, and it's like the American guy going, what the hell is a dip mac, which is like the death touch. So in the movie, and Frank Dukes claims he can do this, is that he can layer a stack of bricks and he can hit the top and blow up the bottom.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
But I'm sure it's never been caught on video.
Never.
we just got a just to interrupt here. We just had a comment from the chat room. I don't know if this is so bad it's good movies or wrestling, but the Dogs of War was mentioned by Chad Quayle, the former Otto Allen.
Very cool.
The Dogs of War.
I don't know.
That was Cujo, Steven Stiles, and Jesse Neal.
The Dogs of the War. I'm trying to remember who Otto Allen is. Like, I feel like I heard that name.
He works some color with me for some CWC shows. So.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a Red Deer
fan. It sounds so familiar. Okay.
In addition to producing, Mike's role here is also to fact check both you and myself. It's a pretty sweet deal we've got here, to be quite honest with you. We're technically never wrong.
So while we're on this subject here, it runs perfectly into my question that I received here earlier. And this is from somebody. Uh-oh. This is from actually next week's guest, who we won't spoil until the end of the show here. But you're talking about movies and TV and whatnot. I'll give you the explanation first. He says, if you don't make the right answer, you might have to be disowned as a friend and shunned in the locker room. So be prepared. Okay, which one do you prefer? The Green Ranger or the White Ranger?
Oh. I'm going to say white.
Oh!
Because the green was bad, and then he became good, and then somehow the token was destroyed, and he got a new token, and now he's the White Ranger. Because I only wear the White Ranger gear when it's a special match, which, like, I've only worn maybe twice, so.
Okay, fair enough. I respect that answer. It's interesting you bring up your gear as well, because one thing that I did want to touch on, I know you and I have talked about it before, but I know it's a story that anybody watching will enjoy. How did the Above Average Joes come to be?
Oh, okay. So what happened was, I was in England and I had this, like, I was in England for like a month and a bit. And then when I came back, it was the Christmas Slam. Mm-hmm. And Kenny was in a match. Oh, we were all in a match, actually. It was like a 6 or 7 way. It was like a schmoz. And someone told, it was Jeff Tyler. Jeff Tyler told Kenny he was going to hit him with a snowplow. And Kenny just went, yeah, okay. And then, like, when we were all kind of separated, Kenny goes up to me, he's like, what the hell is a snowplow?
Yeah, so, sure, bud, cool. What the fuck?
Yeah. So me and him sat down, and we, like, YouTube snowplow, and it's kind of like a brain buster body slam.
That was Al Snow's finisher or something, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. I know what you're talking about.
So we were sitting there, and I was wearing, like, bright green Ranger tights. Like, this is my first match in them. Like, they look so good when I see the photos of how, like how shiny they were. Because I'm just so bad at upkeep where, like, when I wash stuff, it just immediately loses its shine.
Are they the same ones you've got now still?
Yeah, just less shiny. Okay. And Kenny had his
old green pants.
Yes. And Kenny had his gear on, and, like, Kurt kind of took a look and realized our gear was kind of matchy-matchy, and then he was the one that pitched the idea, and then we both accepted it, and then it was kind of, like, the build-up of, like, how are we going to do this tag team? And then we didn't even, like, have a name yet, and then we had a match with MRB and BVD, and they put us over, and it was sweet, so it kind of, like, established that, yeah, we were a tag team.
Yeah.
And then we were, like, sitting there, like, how are we going to, like, figure out, like, our name? And I don't know how. We were just going through names. Like, how about Above Average Joes? Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of went on to that.
Absolutely, man. Now, were you ever planning to be? I know you mentioned that you were in factions before, but was there ever, like, a conscious time where you were like, okay, I want to be in tag teams, or I want to be a singles wrestler, or has it basically just always been, I want to wrestle, put me wherever the hell you feel like putting me, just let me wrestle?
Yeah, at that point, I was doing a lot of singles when I was at, like, before the Above Average Joes. I was doing a lot of singles, and then I had, like, a feud with MRB in Calgary, so I did a lot of singles, and then there was kind of the ideas of, so I was in England, and I came back, and then it was like, what's the plan, right? And initially, I was going to do, like, a Commonwealth title run or something, or, like, I could be wrong, at least, like, feud with Sean Moore when I came back or something, and then it ended up being the tag team that I've been in for 3 years now almost. So, yeah, I think the tag team was a better run because it kind of separated me from the pack because I was just kind of like random wrestler A. Right? I was just wrestling
matches. Character number three. Right?
Exactly. And then when I became a part of the Above Average Joes, it gave me a character as well. And it kind of helped me because I was just kind of like the, yeah, come on, let's go baby face. And then I'm still kind of the, yeah, come on, let's go baby face. But now it's a gimmick. So it's just.
But now there's someone doing it with me.
yes.
I love it, man. And I know I speak for everybody. Again, it's not just blowing smoke, but there is absolutely no doubt. I'm sure I speak for a lot of people on this, that you guys are some of the most entertaining tag teams as far as professional wrestling goes in this province. What do you think it is that allows you guys to be so successful together?
Oh, man. Sometimes I got to put my ego in check here because it's like, you know, when the bell rings, all you hear is Joes, like the Joes, yeah. Joes. And I'm like, all right, like we're over as hell. And to be honest, I just think it's the good matches that we pull off. And then the entertaining promos that we pull off on the Archer Report. It's just like we kind of stand out in a way where we're not like we're generic, but we're ironically generic, you know. And I think because Kenny was such an over baby face like before this, that I kind of piggybacked on him a little bit. Like I'm catching all this shine that you're getting from the fans, right?
We'll take it.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, like Kenny's popular, I'll take it. Like, yeah, sure.
Now, I do have to say, and it's something that I've said for a couple of years, so every year myself and Kyle Shaw and guests to be named the day before, we figure it out. We do an Alberta Mania podcast doing like dream matches and all that sort of stuff. And for 2 years, man, two straight years, I've wanted to see you wrestle Kenny Stryker. And it's not anything malicious, but have you guys ever wrestled each other? And if not, do you see it coming down the line eventually?
I have had a match with him. It was a triple threat, me, him, and Frenetico. And it was when he was the Mayhem champion, and it was a show in Calgary. Mike, were you there? This is when MRB and Connie had a match with Cody Rhodes and Brandy Rhodes. Did you drive down?
I didn't make it for that show, unfortunately. Oh no, wait.
Yes.
That was in February, right?
It was like a long weekend Sunday.
Yeah, it was.
I just remember that.
It was Family Day Sunday. That's what it was. Yeah, I actually was there for that.
Yeah. So it was that show, and it was a triple threat, and it was really fun. And then we've had like, I don't know if you've ever seen, sometimes we'll just have like a random me and him in a gauntlet match or something. Me and him had a little bit of like a gauntlet kind of, we were in a gauntlet match. And I remember, I think I got a sunset pin on him, like a sunset flip or something. But then there was another match that we had where I think it was just two gauntlet matches, to be honest. But me and him, I think it's just really entertaining to see me and him face to face. And, but our chemistry is just unreal. Like before the shows, we set up the ring and we'll try moves on each other and try to see, will this work and will this work? And me and him have been in the training ring a couple times together down here in Calgary, and our chemistry is unreal. So down the road, yeah, I'd love to have a match with him, like a proper match of, if we're going 45 minutes trying to like just do all the craziest shit possible, I would love to do that. Yeah.
Now the real question, who's the baby face?
In that supposed match that we're supposed to have?
You betcha.
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly a good question.
I don't think I've ever watched you work heel before, to be honest with you. Have you? I'm sure you have on shows before. But
my RCW days, I was a heel. And then at HIW, I was a heel. Like when HIW was still a thing. And whenever I go out to BC, I was always a heel. So I have heel experience outside of Alberta, essentially. Like,
it's on the resume.
Yeah. So I know how to work heel pretty good. And I think there was like a random match, like random town, PWA show in a random town where we just had to fill up spots. And then I had a match with Brett Morgan, like baby versus baby. We had to like kind of fill in a six-man tag at the end. So I was heel for one match.
That was the that was one of the first shows in Onaway that we had.
It was on a way, yes, that town.
Yeah.
Like a hockey arena. It was sweet. Mm-hmm. So one PWA match, I've been a heel.
And picture it. We had a crowd of about, I'd say about 400 screaming kids in that venue that night. In the middle of a hockey arena that just vibrates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh, I remember that very well. Sorry to interrupt. I just remember I gave Brett Morgan a knee drop, and my knee pad was like slipped down to my ankle. Like my knee pad slipped all the way down. So I gave him a knee drop, and I landed like directly on my. Oh, yeah, good times, good times.
Sorry, Brett Morgan.
It was like my opposite knee, like the knee I was landing on.
Okay. Sorry, Aiden Adams.
Yeah. Sorry, knee. This is why you buckle all the time.
Shit happens. Now, I know on the last podcast you and I did together, we talked a ton about your training, but just want to dig into it a little bit again for the people who haven't maybe been familiar with you as much as they should have been, damn it, by this point. But you trained at the Hart Brothers University. You trained with the Storm Wrestling Academy. Mm-hmm. Both obviously very big names in professional wrestling. So both obviously very good trainers. Maybe take me through the differences in going through both experiences.
It was more just like the era of wrestling that we're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce was very old school. Like everything that we did was like from like the 70s and 80s. And it would have worked really well in the 70s and 80s and all that kind of stuff. Like the way they did moves was just completely different that we do nowadays. Just, you know, small things. And when I went with Lance, when I went to Lance, it was modern wrestling. It was the kind of stuff that you see on television nowadays. And it was kind of it's like the term same, but different, because there was just different things, like the way you took moves and the way you did moves and the way you just positioned yourself was completely different with Bruce than it was with Lance.
Yeah, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth here a little bit then, but it does sound like you preferred the way it worked with Storm a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. I definitely liked Storm's training a bit more. It would have... I just got a message from a wrestler in the locker room saying, I love you. And I don't want to break kayfabe, but it's a heel. But,
No.
Yeah.
Now, so a heel, for those of you not on the inside of the wrestling business here, is a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. But, so that totally... took me off like the topic I was talking about here. What was I going on about? Oh my God, I just talk all the time.
Your preference for training with Storm or the Hart Brothers University.
Yeah. You know, Lance was 5 days a week from 9 to 2, I believe it was, or something like that. Like it was long days and it was 5 days a week compared to Bruce's once to twice a week, if that, you know what I mean? And like, not to like kind of crap on Bruce, but like he had a ring in his backyard and he would show up late to training and it was in his backyard, you know? Like,
yeah, man. So, and especially when you mention like even just on maybe not the content of what they're training, but just the repetition of what they're training. If you got the opportunity to get in the ring 5 days a week versus two, like, you know, I didn't do very well in statistics, but that statistically is like at least two times more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you were to hop back into professional wrestling again, or if you were to get like a second chance at restarting your career, would there be anything that you perhaps changed or did differently?
You know what? I'm very happy with the way I broke into wrestling and the way I paid my dues. I don't know if I would change anything. Like 100%, I'm kind of happy where I'm at, and I was happy with the way I started.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'd ever kind of change anything, to be honest. I was, you know, really enjoyed myself so far.
Fair enough, man. It was something that I was surprised I didn't ask you in the first podcast, because I guarantee, dude, if I had like 3 or 4 go-to questions, this was it. But like, as far as your decision to hop into the professional wrestling ring, did you always want to be a pro wrestler? Did you make the decision later? Did you make the transition from a different sport? What got you into really wanting to be a wrestler?
Yeah, I was always a fan. Hey, like I always watched it from, you know, since I was a kid. And at the time where I was kind of making that transition was, am I going to try to get like a soccer scholarship? Because when I was younger, I was a high level soccer player. You know what I mean? Like I played in Spain. Okay. Well, I didn't play in Spain. I got sent to Spain to go like at a tournament with like a bunch of scouts and stuff. Nothing really happened of it, but I had these soccer aspirations. And when they were kind of on the decline, I was getting a little older. I was like, what am I really going to do? Because I always wanted to play sports for a living and stuff like that. And I started getting into weightlifting. So I started getting a bit bigger. And I remember it was like, I was watching an episode of TNA and Rob Van Dam did the RVD and the whole crowd did it. And I'm like, why don't I try this? Yeah. I was like, why don't I try this? Like,
yeah,
I'm a good athlete. Like, so I started pumping weights pretty heavy. Because I saw that CM Punk weighed 218 pounds, what the ring announcer said. So yeah. I was like, I'm bulking up to 220 pounds. Like,
yeah.
You know, I had no neck when I was, like, trying to get into wrestling.
Well, yeah, and if you're looking at the guy who at that time is pretty well the standard as far as pro wrestling goes, yeah, like, that's what you aim for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I was like, I got to get to 220. Mm-hmm. So I did, but then I had, like, no cardio. It was brilliant. Like,
a man of extremes, Aiden Adams.
Yeah. It's either I'm really skinny with good cardio or I'm thick with no cardio. I can't find my little middle part.
If you ever see Aiden Adams coming to the ring at 190, just know that he's like right where he should be in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what was it like having to organize with the Harts? Like, you're the first individual that I've heard that mentioned like a Hart Brothers University. Most people that have trained with the Harts have gone to the dungeon or individually found someone to train them, for lack of a better way to put it. Was it just like a temporary school, or sort of what was the situation there?
It's actually like a pretty long story. Do you got time or?
Hell yeah, man.
So I wanted to get into wrestling, but then I saw that Lance was like a year long wait list. Like, it was full to the brim, eh?
Yeah.
So some guy applied at my job. So for people that don't know, my Monday to Friday is our family business, Stone and Stucco Masonry Company. Mm-hmm. So there was a guy that applied that was very interested in working for us. And so I went to go meet him for an interview, give him an interview, and he ultimately didn't get the job. Nice enough guy, though. But he told me he was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. And I guess he was just training or something. And I even have him on Facebook, and his like profile picture was like Cody Rhodes at the time. Like, so I was like, okay, yeah, he's into pro wrestling. And I'm like, mm-hmm, waiting. I'm like, okay, do I wait a year for Lance, or do I get into it now? And then like maybe down the road I'll go into Lance's or not. Mm-hmm. And so I ask him like, hey, where do you train wrestling? And he's like, oh, I do like Greco-Roman, but at the same gym I do Greco-Roman at, Bruce Hart has his Hart Brothers University, and I just saw Harry Smith go by and train some guys.
Oh, so I was cool.
Like, oh, shit. So I sent them an email, and a fellow named Bob Johnson got back to me, and he called me saying, oh, come meet me at the gym where everyone was training at.
Yeah.
And so then I met Bob, and I met all those guys there. So Cameron Stevens from RCW was like a 14-year-old kid.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, like, when I see Cam, I can't see him as the adult. Like, I always still picture him as, like, the little 14-year-old or 15-year-old kid training with us, hey? Like,
yeah. Oh, so, man, that's so cool to hear.
Because, it was like, so long ago.
Oh, yeah, and, like, to be quite honest with you, it's kind of nice. So Kyle Shaw, he did a podcast with Cam recently, and it was kind of nice to hear because he moved to Newfoundland the better part of a year ago, at the very least. Maybe if not more, and, like, he's been doing real well in Newfoundland, man. It's pretty cool to hear on that end.
Yeah. And he's getting pretty gimmicky out there. It's pretty sweet. Like, this, like, I watched like a promo with him in a hot tub, and I was like, this is sweet. Like,
oh, it's awesome, man. It's absolutely awesome. You're a pretty well-traveled guy. Have you ever had the opportunity to get out there for a couple of matches, or?
No, the farthest I've been east is Manitoba. And it was like a Tony Condello show at a native reservation. It was called Weiwei Sekapo.
Yeah.
And that was like the furthest east I've gone. And that's like right on the Manitoba Saskatchewan border, if I remember correctly. It was like right there. That was the farthest east I've ever been.
That was you just did the first tour with Condello, didn't you? Or maybe not the first, but you did shows with Condello recently, right?
I've only done that one show for Condello. Like,
oh, okay.
That would have been Oh, no worries. That would have been the first year, like the first year I broke into wrestling. That would have been 2015, probably.
Condello tour to me, man, like, as far as pro wrestling goes, okay, any level of it has some sort of insanity to it. But, like, Going and wrestling a match. Okay, that's your basic pro wrestling. Doing a Candelo tour sounds like right the hell up here, man. Is that ever something you'd be interested in?
I have been interested, but I've never done it. And I think the one thing that kind of steers me away is because Slammer goes all the time, and then Slammer like immediately calls me when he comes back, and he just sounds like he's been like, I don't want to say COVID, but like just go, hey man,
hey friend, everything was terrible with me. How are you?
Yeah. So like, I feel like everybody just gets sick, and I'm like, I don't really have any interest in getting sick, you know.
No, but I completely get it, man. I completely get it. Now, to completely pivot again, because like I said, I just like asking questions. There's no rhyme or reason to them. You brought up the Power Rangers a couple of times, so I may answer this question for you, or you may have already, but what is your favorite 90s cartoon?
Oh, man. That's a tough one, because...
I know, man. It's...
I will say that, like, I'm not very proud of it. I'm kind of like a kid with a tablet nowadays. I watch television so much.
Oh, dude, you and I both.
To think of cartoons, honestly, I watched a lot of Bloodsport as a kid. Like, I know that sounds bad, but, like...
I only like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Absolutely. I would say Jean-Claude Van Damme and, like, more Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know? I remember just, like, my childhood, I remember very vividly was Bloodsport and Street Fighter. Like the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember watching those on repeat all the time. But the first thing that popped to my mind as a kid, I watched Pokemon a lot.
So that was probably, hell yeah, man.
That was probably the cartoon I remember like being in kindergarten and then rushing home from kindergarten to turn on Pokemon.
Shit, like so, YTV The Zone, man. I still remember that.
Yes. What's that show? Uh-oh, with Wink Yahoo.
Oh, man, that is, like, still... If I was a betting man, Aiden Adams, I would put money on maybe, like, a Netflix revival or, like, a Disney Plus revival. I will almost guarantee, though, like, in the next, say, 2 years, we're going to see something along those lines because, like...
Yeah.
It just seems like it's getting mentioned more and more often lately. Not, like, a revival, but more and more often I hear people who are like, you remember Uh-oh? Like, yeah, fuck yeah, I remember. Oh, of course I remember. Oh, I have a man of style and class.
Yeah. I just remember the hair. Like, it was like Johnny Bravo, but real life.
Oh, it was great. And if you've got, so we picked up a new TV 7 months ago or so, and we've got, like, the YouTube app directly put on it. They've got full episodes of Uh-Oh on YouTube. So if you've got the opportunity, man, they're there for the taking.
I'll definitely do that. Yeah, 100%.
Big time, man. It's getting dangerous. I've got that. Like, we picked up Disney Plus, same sort of thing, like, 6-7 months ago. So I ripped through Gargoyles. We ripped through Recess. Like, everything is just getting...
God.
It's all just getting taken down. You mentioned Pokemon, though. Have you played the new games at all?
No, I haven't. Like, honestly, I don't think I've played any Pokemon games since, like, Pokemon Sapphire. Like, from, like, 2004. That was probably
Not a Pokemon Go guy?
I have a friend that I went to high school with, and she lives in Airdrie, like where I live. And I went to her house for like her and her boyfriend moved in, and they're like, you gotta get Pokemon Go. So I got it for like a day and deleted it. Like, just not for me, you know.
Dude, I was so addicted for the first couple of months, and then they send you the phone bill, and you're like, oh my god, I spent how much on data?
Yeah, like 5 gigs just walking around the like.
Oh man, it's horrible. Now, I won't ask you to name a favorite. I don't like asking people to pick favorites because that's just a pain in the ass for pretty well anything. But if you were to give a few of your favorite Pokemon, who would they be?
Jeez. Because I'm probably have to go to like the first gen because like I don't know.
That's not only fine, that's like encouraged for the most part. I think the first three for me were like the golden age. And I quite enjoy the rest of them, don't get me wrong, but like, the first three generations were just pristine.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to go Mewtwo for one of them. Because I remember like in that Pokemon movie, like Pokemon 2000, I think it was called. Like,
yep.
He made his like debut and I was like, holy you know what I mean? Like,
right, dude? Oh, man.
I think I'm going to have to say Pikachu for one of them. Because I remember there was an episode when I was like 4 or 5 years old. Pikachu and Ash like split apart for like an episode. Like Pikachu wanted to be with the other Pikachu or whatever.
Yep.
Kind of go with his herd. And I remember crying my ass off.
Oh yeah.
And my mom's going, what's wrong? And I'm like, Pikachu and Ash split up. Mom's like, yeah, okay. Like kind of turned around. Like, all right.
So get this shit, man. Like I fell into sort of a YouTube wormhole or whatever you want to call them over the last little bit. So I was watching like Pokemon clips from the new series. Cause like, I'm sure you've heard Ash finally became a champion after 23 years or something like that. So I was going through and just like, sorry, go ahead.
He's got to be the oldest 10-year-old I've ever seen. Like,
that's what everybody wants. I saw a meme going around. It's like, this is what employees are looking for a 10-year-old with 20-something years experience.
Absolutely.
So I was going through the wormhole of Pokemon clips. And did you know that Jesse and James, like, not abandoned, but they gave up Arbok and Weezing?
Really?
Like, yeah.
And they gave them up, hey? They're like, you guys aren't doing the job.
Well, no. So sort of like same sort of way that like Ash got rid of his Charizard very stupidly, but got rid of him nonetheless for the better of the Pokemon, is they had Weezing and Arbok, not Ekans. There was a group that was getting hunted by a Pokemon poacher, so they left him with them. Yeah, there's another one. I cried recently to Pokemon, dude.
No shame. Sorry, no. Don't be ashamed of that.
No, none whatsoever. Now, we're getting closer to wrapping her up here on the show, dude. So I want to thank you once again for hopping on. It's always a blast to get to shoot the shit with you. Like, you know, we talk about pro wrestling. We talk about Pokemon. It's basically a best of both worlds, man. Absolutely. Michael, you want to hop in?
Yeah, just from the chat room, and this is coming from Chris Parrish, just states that Aiden Adams, outside of one of the nicest guys in the locker room, is one of the most overlooked talents in my eyes.
Aw, oh, thanks, Parrish.
You're going to get diabetes.
He didn't mention that I made him puke drinking like a couple months ago here. Like right before.
Okay. Now we need story time now. Sorry, Parrish.
Love you, Parrish. It was a PPW show, and we all went to Ken Stevens' house after a drink. Mm-hmm. And Chris Parrish, who probably only drinks beer. I don't think he ever drinks hard alcohol much. And we just made him take shots. Like, Kyle Sebastian got one of those, like, Costco-sized Kirkland whiskeys. Massive. And we almost finished the whole thing. Like, I wish I knew how big, like the ounces it was. But it was huge. And maybe a 60, I think that's what it's called. It was huge. And I remember we were all taking just, like, shots. And I remember Paris saying, I don't take shots, guys. And we're just like, you're taking shots with us. And then I just remember, I don't think anyone noticed but me, but Parrish taking that shot and then puking in the sink, like, after a couple. Oh,
he didn't even get the Irish exit out of it, because, like, I have to admit, man, like, him and I, we have had our fair share of individual times drinking together. He's got a much higher capacity than I do.
He does have a good tolerance.
Oh, man, he's much better than I am, but, like, we're in the same sort of boat as, like, I don't take shots either. I would have at least tried to make the Irish exit. I'm a little proud of him, to be quite honest with you.
Because it happened so quickly. Like, it probably hit, like, a bad gag reflex or something. And all three of us were just, like, pretty drunk at this point that, like, no one was paying attention.
Yeah.
So I was the only one, because I was the one kind of facing directly to Parrish.
Yeah.
So the other guys were kind of staring at me. So when Parrish went to the back and he's puking, I'm the only one noticing. And I hope I didn't, like, call him out for it, but I just remember him, like, puking his guts out a little bit for, like, half a second.
And that's then, okay, man.
Oh, no.
He didn't stop or anything.
Trust me, I appreciate you calling him out for something like this. I need any kind of fire with him I can get.
Mike, yeah. Ain't that the truth, man? Ain't that the truth as far as it goes for you and I? But
I will put him over to say that he continued and he did not stop.
No,
that was a speed bump. And then he just kept going. Yeah.
A salute to him, man. That's absolutely hilarious. Absolutely. Although I can't say I won't hold it against him every so often. But hopefully, man, sooner rather than later, when this COVID shit is all over, we can all do the same thing once again. And it's been great to have you on here, man. We are just about wrapped up. So you know me, man. I always like to make sure that you get the opportunity to plug where people can keep track of you, where people can find you, whether it's wrestling, which I know isn't the case for the near future, but just on social media, if they want to keep track with the above average Aiden Adams.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Aiden Wrestles. I try to keep my Facebook and my Instagram kind of to my private life with a couple of wrestling photos, but fans will always somehow manage to find that anyways. But if you're interested in my life, yeah, Aiden Wrestles on Twitter. Yeah. And I always just share every event I have and anything, any cool gifts that I find of me wrestling, I usually share it on that too. So
110%, man, as you should. That's all it takes to get people somewhere like at this point, right? You see something cool online, like blow it up. You're good to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Mike, any final thoughts from you before we close it out, my friend?
No, thanks, Aiden, for coming on to the show this week. But I do have one question, but mind if I save it till after we announce our special guest for next week?
Announce it.
All right.
Let's get this going.
All right. We got.
Do we have a clip or do I have to actually announce them?
No, I got the video here, so. Here goes.
Nice. Look how professional this is. Hold on. I've always wanted to do this, and I'll never get to wrestle. Roll the footage.
Roll the clip.
Hey, Vampire Nation. It's the Omen here. Backbreaker Media, as well as Wincom Sports, have something lined up for you as they go live with me on Thursday, May 21st, 8 p.m. Mountain Time on Facebook Live, Twitch, and YouTube. Come check
out. Oh, I heard that.
We have an interview with the Vampire next Thursday, 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central for our Saskatchewan friends who are watching, 10 p.m. Eastern. Now, Mr. Adams, since you are officially ostracized from the PWA locker room because you picked the white the White Ranger over the Green Ranger, I didn't tell you what the answer was. Unfortunately, you said wrong, apparently. Do you have any, do you have any words for the Omen here? Any thoughts on the Omen?
Do better next time.
Next time we will make a stronger effort, man.
Can I join on the interview next week too, and we'll have like a four-way here?
Mr. Omen, we wanted to ask you, why did it have to be the Green Ranger? That's what we'll start it off with, man.
It's very green, so that's the.
Well, my friend, I don't think we'll find a funnier note at the very least to take it off of, and I'm not going to spend time trying to find a better one. It was great to have you on here, my friend. I thoroughly appreciate it. I cannot wait until we finally get to see you wrestle again, share a beverage together, and have you on the show in the near future, dude. Thanks once again. Thank you, the fans, for tuning in. As I like to say here, the winner was you, the fans, despite how much fun I got to have. It's always great for you guys to get to find out a little bit more about the professional wrestling we've got here above the 49th parallel and bringing you one of the best of the best. I'm fully confident that you got the benefit as far as this goes. Once again, big thanks to our guest, Aiden Adams. I'm going to let our friend Mike the Ref close it out here. But once again, tune in next Thursday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. I've got my interview with the Vampire, the Omen Gabriel. Mike, I'm going to throw it back to you to close it out.
All right. Well, I just threw up what's coming up this week on the network. Coming up this Saturday is our latest edition of CWC Evolution. I do believe that involves a triple threat tag team match or triple threat match for the CWC Championship in a tables match between Chris Parrish, Jude Dawkins, and a mystery that shows up halfway through the match. We will get to that when we get there. Make sure you check it out on the YouTube page. And then on Sunday, you have the Monster Pro Wrestling Virtual Madness hosted by Rick Jules, Blake Cannon, Privileged James Crowder. Don't forget Boo Busty Blake, whenever possible. That'll be simulcast on the Backbreaker Media Twitch channel. And then our last CWC Evolution currently, I'm working on some others, will be coming up this Tuesday, followed up by coming up on the Thursday, the 21st, with our Conversations with Love Live, the interview with the Vampire, the Gabriel Omen. But after that long speech, on behalf of our guest, Aiden Adams, and our host, Spencer Love, this is Mike the Ref Maloney saying thank you for joining us here on Conversations with Love Live.